G'day folks, it's Chris the Movie Maniac here from supermarcy.com. Coming at you on this very chilly Melbourne day here, and I just want to spend a few moments talking about something that's kind of been very popular in films at the moment, especially when they're adapting them from a book. The tendency to take one book and turn it into multiple books. Now, the biggest culprit, I should say, in this was the recent Hobbit trilogy. Now, this is something that got a lot of controversial discussion between fanboys and fangirls, particularly with the older generation and the younger generation, as I have found, because a lot of my friends in the younger geeky groups tended to enjoy this a lot more than, say, some of us older folks that would have been on the Lord of the Rings bandwagon. So I just wanted to, you know, go through and discuss this and just kind of put where I stand on this. And to be honest, my standing and my opinion is it should never have been a trilogy. And if it was going to be made, it should have been one film. So basically, when it was originally announced to be adapted, Peter Jackson wasn't attached to direct. Guillermo del Toro ended up being the director, but sadly that was not to pass as he moved on to go off and make Pacific Rim. But he still retained a writing credit. And at this stage, it was originally going to be a two-parter. And when you look at the Hobbit story, okay, now, the Hobbit isn't a prequel. I think this is what people need to understand, is that unlike, say, for example, the Star Wars prequel trilogy, or, you know, other prequels that have come out, they're kind of based on original stuff. They tend to be, like, you know, for example, Prometheus, you know, it's based on a film script. It's no novel, it's no other material, it's original source in terms of its original creation. The Hobbit's a book that was written 20 years before the Lord of the Rings trilogy was written by J.R.R. Tolkien. So it was never a prequel. If anything, you could see it as a prelude to what was, you know, as a setting up as to what was to happen. I mean, its only real connection apart from Gandalf, you know, obviously Middle-earth, is really Gandalf, Bilbo, the Shire, and Gollum and the Ring. And that's really it, and they're really loose connections, because it doesn't really make sense until then. But to be honest, The Hobbit is a one-off thing, and the problem with the films is the films turn them into a prequel, which it was never meant to be. Because if you're gonna make The Hobbit, you need to make it as a film that's gonna stand on its own, that's, you know, treat the hints to what is to come by treating them as they treated in the book, as if there was nothing, you know, as if it's a one-off, nothing's going to come. But the problem is, because of ownership rights and whatnot, The Lord of the Rings came first in the film world, and The Hobbit came second. So, you know, it's a 300-page book, and to stretch it out into three films is a pretty ridiculous act. But like I said, when Del Toro was on board, the initial idea was to turn it into two films. And when you sit there and you think about it, and you think about what's in there, and you're like, yeah, you know what, that could work. But by the time, just before the release of the first part, An Unexpected Journey, Peter Jackson, who was then, as we all know, came on board, took over to direct, announced that he was going to turn it into a trilogy. And we all sat there and we thought, oh, really? And by that stage, we all knew what was going to happen in part one and part two. And it's like, well, there's no room for the battle. And it's like, oh, but that's all that's left. You know, you're going to make a whole movie into a battle? But apart from my opinions on the fact that these films shouldn't exist, I mean, look, to be fair, I quite enjoyed the third film because there was a lot more character thought in there. But anyway, just having a look back, really, I mean, Peter Jackson's problem was he stuck. I don't think he can get himself out of Middle-earth. He tried to redo the magic that was the original Lord of the Rings films and try and create three, just redo what he'd done. And it's evidenced more so in the first part than it is in the other. And the problem, the big, big problem is he was able to stretch these films out by taking stories and other legends and stuff that never happened when The Hobbit was happening. If you look in the timeline, like all the stuff that Gandalf is happening, just off the top of my head, it happens 50 years before, 50 years after. I'm pretty sure it's 50 years after the events of The Hobbit. Just going off the top of my head, because it's been a while since I've read the appendixes. So they've got nothing to do with that. And the other thing that makes it turn into a prequel is, you know, it's like trying this big mystery as to who the necromancer is, and it's like, if by that stage everybody kind of knew it was Sauron, and it's like, yeah, big surprise, who cares? So, you know, trying to recreate that magic, but to be honest, The Fellowship of the Ring was the stronger of those original films, and it's the opposite with the Hobbit films. It's the third one that's actually the strongest, because the other two just really silly. And again, this is the problem that Peter Jackson has with his directing style, is he's filming three films in one go. And as anyone who's watched the special features and all of that of the previous Lord of the Rings films, it's way too much of a jumble, you know, coming back and reshooting stuff. And I think that's the reason why he turned it into a trilogy, is because he ran out of space of where to fit the battle. And the reason why he has that problem of running out of time is because he brought stuff that wasn't in The Hobbit, you know, creating a love story between Filly the Dwarf and an invented character, Tauriel the Elf, who is an interesting character and a really cool character and could have worked in something else other than this. You know, they did it to introduce a female element into the story, and yet, you know, Tolkien's things are all very male-dominated, but it's not, in my opinion, it's, you know, a lot of people could say it's sexist. I don't think it is. I think it's just, you know, the way he wrote at the time, you know. But again, she is a cool character, but she doesn't suit this world. And the other thing, you know, Legolas is in there, you know, Radagast's story is in there, and he's pretty useless, you know, bringing in all these characters to try and remind us, or as Honest Trailers actually mentioned, to try and trick us into believing we're watching The Lord of the Rings. And that's his mistake. He's got way too many characters in this for you to really keep track of. When the story of The Hobbit, it's Bilbo's story. Bilbo kind of barely gets any focus throughout the whole thing. And we really only get to know, to be honest, 4 of the 13 dwarves. Excluding Thorin, that is. And it gets to a point where one of them doesn't even say anything, and you don't really care about who those guys are. Whether the book, it's all about the dwarves and Bilbo and this adventure that they go on, and that's the story. And Gandalf's really secondary to that, whereas here he's pushed forward. And because Jackson's brought in all these characters that shouldn't really be in there, it's pushed very vital characters such as Bjorn the Bear Man. He gets basically ignored when he gets introduced finally in the Desolation of Smaug. And then when he appears again in the Battle of Five Armies, he's in there for a scene, or barely a second. He joins in right at the end of the battle to turn into a bear and charge in the battle, and that's it. And that's an important character into it, because those of you know, he actually ends up killing Bolg. And the other thing, you know, he ends up killing Bolg, the leader of the Goblin army. And it's important to the story, and it's a bit silly to change it. I mean, you know, people can people can change things in books. Like Jurassic Park is a perfect example of where so much was changed, but it's still that story, but still watchable for a wider audience. Peter Jackson trying to change that a story so simple a story to stretch out into three films and reach a bigger audience was a very foolish thing to do. Like I said, it's total characters are ignored and things are just, it's silly. And I mean, we don't really want to know the politics of Lake Town, because that was just, to be honest, a bit silly. Basically, again, they're films that should never have existed. the first part is very wasteful. Nothing exciting happens. I mean, it takes an hour for things to get started. And had this been one film, I mean, the best way to have done it would be 1 3-hour film. You could have fitted everything in there, you know. But Jackson just drags it out, and it's like, wow, this is, like, really boring. And the first part ends very lacklusterish. Part two is a little bit better, mostly because it's a bit of a build-up to meeting Smaug the dragon. And to be honest, no matter what my opinions are on the Hobbit films, the best thing and the only reason to watch these is for Smaug. And to be honest, that's really only part two and three. And he's given very good screen time. Benedict Cumberbatch is perfect casting for Smaug because the man looks like a dragon in general. You'd believe he could just transform into one on the spot. And even by the time in part three, the Lake Town attack is 10 minutes, and it's a very tight 10-minute action sequence, which is unusual for Peter Jackson because he just drags them out. And that's the other problem with it. The barrel riding sequence dragged out into a ridiculous action sequence when it never was an action sequence. I mean, you could have done a little fun little 5-minute, ooh, we're going down the river, but instead he drags it out to almost 20 minutes of bumbling around like, oh god, it's like watching the scene in the Mines of Moria, them escaping that. It's just hordes of orcs just magically appearing out of nowhere, and the dwarves are just, you know, unscathed. And it's that annoying thing that the fact that no character in the Tolkien world that's a main character dies. No matter how much peril they're in, they never die unless it's Sean Bean. Poor guy. So yeah, the second film's a little bit better, but again, like I said, characters like Bjorn gets ignored, the spiders get basically trimmed down to, you know, for stupid things. Bard, the character of Bard the Bowman, who's played by Luke Evans, is really good. He's one of the other reasons to watch this, because his character is just brilliant. But by the time the third film comes out, I think a lot of people... And I didn't see the third film at the cinema. I was excited to see the other two. But I think by the time it's like, oh god, we've got another one to go. I've got no energy. This film shouldn't exist. But when I did come around to seeing it on DVD, which I did a solo review on that film not long ago, it was what the Hobbit films should have been. It felt nicely tight-packed, like shorter runtime. There was character. You actually, for once, cared about the characters. He spent time to you know, a little bit there to get them. And not only that, but the battle was really well done. The battle sequence is just amazing. And I mean, it's the bulk of the film, 45 minutes. And it goes from a massive field battle to a more of a solo one. And that's solo one-on-one match between Thorin and Azog and a few of the others. And that's kind of cool. But it would have been funner to have watched that enact out on the big field, but he directs it so well, and which is interesting because comparing the Battle of Five Armies to other battles in the Lord of the Rings, it's like Helm's Deep and Pelennor Fields, they are just a mess, to be honest. They're mucky, they feel really like not epic enough, whereas this does. And I mean, there's a lot of CG in here, but it's better CG than the really bad CG that was used in The Return of the King and the Pelennor Fields, because that's just horrible. And for those of you that argue the eagles just come in and save the day, well, the eagles were in the book in the battle, because they're the fifth element of that battle. But look, too much is as much as I really enjoyed the third film over all of them, because, you know, it's just so much more well thought out. And I think because he took a break in production once he announced the third film, because they still had the battle to film, and he sat down and they really thought of how to end it well, and to be honest, they ended it well, which is better than the way the Return of the King ended, which just never, you know, had several different endings. People were just bored. Jack Nicholson never even saw the ending because he'd walked out. He's like, this is, yeah, I've had enough. So, I mean, if Jack Nicholson walks out, it's bad. So, when you look at the War of the Rings put together, which Peter Jackson will most likely be doing that in a Blu-ray release in the future, they begin strongly with the Fellowship of the Ring, and end brilliantly with the Battle of Five Armies, but the in-between is just a mess. Again, the perks of doing back-to-back is just not worth it, I don't think. And it's shown in this one, in the Hobbit trilogies, because it is just a mess in its execution. And look, I've had countless arguments with a few people, or friendly arguments with my little sister in particular, you know, and they are the younger audience that do enjoy these films a little bit more, but it's, no matter what your opinions are, you need to admit that these films, whilst they are entertaining, it should never have been a trilogy. It's just pointless. You know, The Hobbit's a 300-page book, and it's treated like a prequel, and it's just stretching it out to the point of, ugh, yeah. And again, I mean, when they're all 3 hours, it's just like, why? Why bother? It's just squeezing the penny out of the audience and testing its patience. And I think that's why I know there are a lot of people that just gave up by the time the third one it's out. It was just like, really? But look, you guys all know my opinions of the third film in my previous review, but this is just talking about the trilogy in general. So I'm going to give an all-round review for the individual films and then the trilogy as a whole. So for an Unexpected Journey, that's a 2-star film. I'm really sorry, but it is. The Desolation of Smaug. Look, I'm going to give that a very rare 3.5 for me. I don't give half stars out. I really only watch that for Smaug. The rest of it is just a mess. And Battle of Five Armies, yeah, I've already given that a review, and I give that a 4, because the battle was just spectacular. It's one of the best cinema battles I've seen with that amount of CGI in it. But look, all round, I give the Hobbit trilogy a 3. And it's not a very high 3, it's more of a groan-worthy 3, because, like I said, Peter Jackson had the chance here to do something wonderful, one-off, and it's just something that should never have been dragged out, because that's not what the story is. Because, you know, The Lord of the Rings, it made sense, because there were 3 films to 3 books. But, yeah, look, in all honesty, when you put all 6 together, it's The Fellowship of the Ring and The Battle of the Five Armies are the best ones, because they had the most time put into them. The other 4 films are pretty dodgy. You can have your favourite moments in there. You can love them. Look, I don't care what you're... Like I said, I don't care what you think about them. You can love them, you can hate them, but as one of my scripting mentors told me, you need to admit, you can love a film for what it is, but if it's bad, you need to admit it's bad. And I think people need to acknowledge that these Hobbit films, whilst entertaining, and you can love them for what they are, they're just... It's not so much that they're bad, it's just they should not exist in the form that they are. It should have been a 1 3-hour film. And in all honesty, Peter Jackson was probably not the best person to direct these films. If they were going to be for whatever, I think that's why people were excited that Guillermo del Toro was going to make it, because it needed fresh blood. Peter Jackson, I think, is still stuck in that world of, he drags so much out. I mean, King Kong, he dragged out the 3 hours, although that was dragged out well, but this was just not needed. So I hope you've enjoyed this. Sorry if it's a little bit long, but I hope it creates a bit of discussion. And look, I enjoy them. I'll watch them again. But like I said, it's a very groan-worthy 3 stars for the trilogy in total. And I hope you, like I said, just again, 2 stars for An Unexpected Journey, 3.5 for The Desolation of Smaug, and 4 for The Battle of the Five Armies. Look, get out there and watch them. Make up your own mind. If you agree with me, great. If you don't, even better. You know, as long as it's creating a discussion on this whole thing about Hollywood turning one book into 50 little films. The entire Lord of the Rings and Hobbit films are out on DVD and Blu-ray. But be careful, watch out, because it's probably worth holding off buying them until he releases a big Blu-ray 6-pack, which may come out this year, but no word on that yet. So thanks for listening, and yeah, enjoy the rest of your day, folks. Ciao.